Nice to be with you this morning again. We will open our Bibles this morning to Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 27. We'd like to read the Bible account of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus this morning. Matthew 27, verse 11 says, "And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate to him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against you? And he answered him to not a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at that feast, the governor would release to the people a prisoner that they wanted. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they gathered together, Pilate said to them, Whom will you that I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have nothing to do with that just innocent man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the two will you that I release to you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all said to him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil has he done? And they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, and he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered him there, the whole band of the soldiers, and they stripped him and put on a scarlet robe. And when they had made a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And then they spit on him and took the reed and smote him in the head with it. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put on his own raiment and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and they compelled him to bear Jesus' cross. And when they were come to the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that they might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet. They have parted my garments amongst them, and upon my vesture they have cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there and set up over his head this accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him now deliver him, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. So the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. We have the story before us this morning of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the story told, and we'd like to focus a little bit on what happened that day. That day, there were three men scheduled to be crucified. One of them's name was Barabbas, and the two others were thieves. Barabbas was a murderer, and the two others, thieves, were there too. And there were three appointed unto death that day. But then at the last hour, Jesus of Nazareth was brought before the king. And he was brought there, we were reading it in verse 18, that Pilate knew that for envy they delivered Jesus. It was because he was jealous. They were jealous of him, of his doctrine, of his teaching, of his ability with the people, of his love that he had for the people, his compassion. They had nothing to offer even in comparison to what Jesus had. They had nothing to offer even in comparison to the life of Jesus Christ. I was reading some books yesterday, and it was comparing Jesus amongst other followers of religion. And it was in the context of feminism. It was in the context of how the gospel of Jesus Christ and the leader, Jesus, of the church, treated women and compared them to how other leaders treated women. The other leaders didn't fare very well. Buddha had a 9-year-old wife. 9 years old isn't very big. Not a good way to treat women, even before they're women. Muhammad was similar. Imagine your wife bringing her toys and her dollies with her when she switches houses to be your wife. Not very pleasant sounding. But Jesus, well, for one thing, he never had a wife. But every time we encounter Jesus, he would even go with the women considered low by the community around. There was the woman surprised in adultery in the very act in John chapter 8. And they treated her, the religious men treated her with disdain and disrespect, this woman of disrepute. They didn't care for her. They brought her for her naked in front of Jesus. Look at her. She's caught in the very act of adultery. Moses says we should stone her. What do you say? There was this woman who had 5 husbands. And the man she was living with now was not her husband. And it says in the narrative of Jesus' encounter with her that he must needs go through Samaria. He needed to see her and talk with her, that even the city folk wouldn't have anything to do with her as she went out in the heat of the day to the well of Jacob to retrieve water. The Pharisees would say of Jesus, do you know if he were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is there washing his feet? Nobody in their right mind, no religious person in their right mind would ever, ever permit a woman of that type to come before his presence and even touch him. But there was Jesus associating himself and always treating women with respect. It's an interesting note to look over the world even today and to see where the gospel has gone and where the gospel has been accepted and is accepted, how well women are treated in those societies. And where the gospel is rejected in Hindu lands, in Buddhist lands, in Islamic lands. And think of the difference of how women are treated in those countries. And then we think a little bit about North America and that big lie of how women have their freedom. Freedom to choose what they want to do with their own bodies. And how the divorce rate just climbs and skyrockets as men don't appreciate women as they ought to. And men don't love women as they ought to. And in this area where women were once treated with dignity, they're started to be treated with ill respect again. They're just sex symbols, you know. There's nothing important about them. And so the rise of feminism brings its ugly head to light. And for some reason or other, that woman was deceived there in the Garden of Eden, and they're being deceived today. And giving away their most greatest possession to the men who don't really care about them. But beloved, the Lord Jesus isn't like that. The Lord Jesus comes, and he offers hope, not just to women, but to all mankind. And as we read this narrative here, we read how Jesus came. And even though he wasn't appointed to die that day, per se, by the governor, there were three appointed to die: Barabbas, a murderer, and a thief on the left hand, and another thief on the right hand. And Pilate would find, and we read it various times in the scripture, saying, "What did he do? What charge do you lay to this man? I find no fault with him." His wife would say, "I've had this dream and I've suffered greatly because I've had this dream. Have nothing to do with this just, have nothing to do with this innocent man." And the Lord Jesus looks at this situation and opens not his mouth. He comes in and there he is, innocent. Just. They've scrutinized him and they can't find a fault with him. They can't find anything wrong. They can't find anything that they can truly say that he did was wrong. They even had false witnesses come. And the false witnesses would give this story that he said he was going to destroy your most religious, most sacred building. And then he's going to rebuild it in 3 days. They took it a little bit out of context, I suppose, but that was the best they could do. He said he would destroy this temple. And beloved, that was their only accusation against the Lord Jesus. Nothing, Pilate said, that was worthy of death. But they cried, the religious people of the day, and they would convince and connive and through the back doors and the back door and the back room arguments of the day, they would convince the people to have a murderer released amongst the people rather than have Jesus there. I would ask you, if you had a choice between Jesus of Nazareth, who went around doing good, who healed the blind, he made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years that was now so broke that she just felt in desperation if she could just touch his garment. We might think of that poor widow lady of Nain who was carrying her son out to be buried outside of the city and the compassion he had upon her and her son, her only son. The one who fed 5,000, the one who healed the paralytic, the one who just went around doing good. He's one of your choices to be released into society today. Or you could have Robert Pinkton released today, the man responsible for probably, an RCMP officer told me, probably there were over 100 bodies there. He was only charged with a very small fraction. Which would you prefer to be released to you? Which would you prefer to have as your neighbor? Which would you prefer to have walking in the streets where you walk, where your children walk, where your grandparents walk? Which would you prefer to have walking around, Jesus or Mr. Pinkton? It's a similar choice that Pilate's giving. Who do you prefer, Barabbas or Jesus? In Pilate's mind, in the natural mind, just like you and I are thinking, well, we'd pick the guy who would feed 5,000. We'd pick the guy who heals. He would just be like a doctor, a very generous doctor that fed and helped and gave his time and gave his life to helping people. That would probably be the one we would choose. We wouldn't want a rapist. We wouldn't want a murderer running around amongst us. But they convinced that the murderer would be released. They convinced the people to show we would have Barabbas. Interesting, Bar in Aramaic means son. Abba means father. The son of the father taking the place of the only begotten Son of the Father. And the Lord Jesus took Barabbas' place on that middle cross. You see, there weren't supposed to be 4 crucified, there were only supposed to be 3 crucified. And Barabbas got a pardon, so to speak. He was released. And Jesus took his place on that middle cross. There was a substitute made for Barabbas. And Barabbas, who deserved to die, was set free. Beloved, the Bible says, the soul that sins must die. The Bible says we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But, one of those great buts in Scripture, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the Bible says. How does that work? What does that mean? As we read here, Barabbas had a substitute, didn't he? And he was given life, physical life, because Jesus took his physical death. If there was no substitute for him, he would have had to die, but there was a substitute for him, so he didn't have to die. He would get released. And someone else would die in his place on that third cross, on that middle cross. And beloved, you and I have sinned. Some of us have sinned big sins, yucky sins, gross sins, unmentionable sins. Some of us have only sinned little sins, small sins, not very big sins. But the problem is we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, some people would say to me, you know, little sins are different than big sins. Little sins, they're just little sins. We can overlook them. And big sins, well, they're big sins, so we can't overlook those. And then we take that logic and, you know what? What if I killed a midget, a dwarf, a short person? Vertically challenged, some people might say. Just a small person. Or a child. Or an unborn baby. They're just small. So would that imply that because they were small people that the murder doesn't count? But if I get somebody big like me or somebody maybe important like Prime Minister Trudeau, or maybe if there's a number of people involved, like Adolf Hitler, and maybe because the number is so great, or because the person is large, or because the person is important and big in the eyes of the world, or big in number, or big in size, then that murder is a real murderer. But somebody who's just one, how many murders do you have to commit to be called a murderer? How large of a person do you have to kill to be called a murderer? How many people? How large of people? How important of a person do you have to kill to be called a murderer? You know, in some people's eyes, those people that Mr. Pinkton killed weren't very important people. Just prostitutes, you know. Live on the Lower East Side. Live in the streets. Nobody really loves them. You know, way down deep somewhere, there's a mom. Way down deep somewhere, there's a brother. Way down deep somewhere, there's a child who doesn't have their sister, who doesn't have their mother, who doesn't have their child anymore. They might not have been important to you and to me per se, but they were important to somebody. And you know, even if they didn't have anybody on the face of this earth, they were important to God. Did you know that? So it really doesn't matter the size of your sin. It really doesn't matter the amount of sin you've done. The truth is, we've sinned. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, separation from God forever and ever and ever. And beloved, forever is a long time. Sometimes we say, boy, is this day ever dragging out? Is this day ever long? This is the longest day I've ever lived. This was a hard week. You know, a day or a week is very short, especially in comparison with forever and ever. But God made a way. God made a plan. God had this way to redeem people like you and like me to himself. How sinful people can be in the presence of a holy God. And the way he did that was a substitute. Just like Barabbas has a substitute, he offers the substitute to you and to me also. And he says, just like Jesus died in Barabbas' place, Jesus can die in your place. Because I'm still a just God. I'm still a holy God. And my law says the wages of sin is death. Someone has to die. Either you're going to die and pay the price for your own sin, or Jesus, the substitute that I provided, is going to pay the price for you. Barabbas didn't have much of a choice. But beloved, you and I have the choice. The Bible says, to as many received him, he gave the authority to be called, that believed on his name, he gave the authority to be called the children of God. To as many as received him, that believed on his name. Paul spoke to a jailer one day, and the jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul responded, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what he said. Because, beloved, not only are the wages of sin death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because Jesus died, he was a substitute for you. Well, how do you know he was a substitute for me? Because it says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. It says in the Bible that everybody sinned, so even Jesus sinned because he died. Well, it's true that Jesus died. But you know, he didn't stay dead. Because after the 3 days, he rose again from the dead. He was seen by Peter, who denied him. He was seen by Thomas. He was seen by Mary. He was seen by another woman named Mary and another woman named Mary. There's all these people named Mary in the Bible. They sometimes get me all confused, but he was seen by James and John. He was seen by the two on the road to Emmaus. He was seen by over 500 at a time. Because he rose from the dead. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. And Jesus died like a man, like you and like me. And then he was judged. And you know, when Jesus was judged, the verdict came this way. Innocent. He didn't have to die. And because he didn't have to die, death, said God, you have to release him. You have no dominion over him. You have no authority over him. Release him. And they rolled the stone away, not to let Jesus out, but to show that he wasn't there. The ladies arrived at the tomb one day, and they were looking in, and there was an angel, and supposing him to be the gardener, they said, if you laid him somewhere, please tell us where. We need to anoint him and put these spices and aromatics on him. And the angel would answer, why seek ye the living with the dead? It wasn't to let him out. It was to show he wasn't there anymore. Because, beloved, death had no reign over Jesus. And it had to let him go. Oh, he died, all right. Because it's appointed unto men once to die. It's a funny thing about death. There's an amazing statistic about death. Do you know 1 out of 1 people die? 100%. You and I will all die. It's just the way it is. And then we'll face the judgment. And we can face it our own selves. Or we could allow the substitute, Jesus, to take our place. And beloved, when we let the substitute Jesus take our place, he died the separation from God that we all deserve, to allow sinners like you and I into the presence of a holy God. Barabbas had a substitute that day, and he lived because Jesus took his place. And beloved, there's a substitute for you and for me. And because he died, you can live too, forever and ever with the Lord Jesus. Not under the condemnation of sin, but free from the law. Oh, happy condition. There was lots of sin. But now there is remission because Jesus died in our place. And he rose again on the third day. And because he lives, we know that he paid the price for our sin. There were three crosses that day. All three of the crosses were prepared, and all three of those men were supposed to be thrown in the garbage dump. They were all supposed to be thrown away just like garbage. Isaiah would say it this way: he has made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit found in his mouth. He was supposed to be thrown in the garbage dump. That was what was prepared for him. He's supposed to make his grave with the wicked, just like the other thieves, the one on the right and one on the left. And how Barabbas, they weren't gonna bury him. Why would you waste money in a tomb on such a rotten person? That's what was prepared for him. But along came a man named Joseph and took him and put him in a brand new tomb. Why? Because he had done no violence. There was no deceit in his mouth. He was bruised for our transgressions and wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. But beloved, with his stripes, we're healed and given life because he is the substitute. And the substitute for Barabbas can be your substitute this afternoon. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the story of Barabbas and how he got life, even though he deserved to die, because Jesus took his place. Barabbas was a bad man. He did some big, awful sins. But he didn't have to do big, awful sins to be a sinner. He just had to do one small, little one. And some of us do small, little sins, and we need your forgiveness. Some of us do big, horrendous sins, and we need your forgiveness too. So our prayer this morning is that in our lives, all of our lives, who would see afresh how Jesus died for us, because he did it all for us. And so we thank you. We thank you for the substitute. We thank you that the only begotten Son of the Father took this man whose name was Son of the Father's place. Died in his stead. And we thank you that that's a picture of us. How you died in our place. to give us life. We pray for anybody here this morning that doesn't have this security, that doesn't have this joy of their sins forgiven, that doesn't know that Jesus took their place. Or maybe they know and they understand right now. We pray that they would trust in Jesus as their Savior. Because he died and rose for them, for us. Bless your word, we pray, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you.